Amen. In this next section of scripture, Paul is reminding the church at Philippi of two people, two men in particular, that really brought Paul joy in his life. So today, obviously, we know is Mother's Day, and I know that many of you find joy in the impact of your mom and the legacy of your mother if she's not here with you still. And some of you just, you know, owe so much to that legacy and to that joy that your mother has brought into your life, and that's a great thing. But others of you might not have experienced that as much. Maybe you lost your mom at a young age and you really can't remember much about your mom. Maybe your mom just kind of checked out and wasn't really there for you. But I have good news for you. That does not mean that you cannot become the person that brings joy to other people. And that does not mean that you don't experience joy from other people in your life, because sometimes, oftentimes, that when there is one deficiency in our life, God raises up someone else to meet that need. So the good news is today what we're going to do is we're going to focus on Philippians 2, 19 through 30, which we're going to learn the character traits of that we can pursue to bring others joy. Now, the first character trait we're going to look at is this. People that bring joy have a genuine concern for others. Have a genuine concern. Let's look at verses 19 through 21. Paul says this, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by the news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. So I don't know if you know this, but Paul and Timothy have some history. And Paul probably met Timothy on his second missionary journey. And Timothy was a young man, and Paul kind of took him in kind of as a son, a spiritual son. And he was by his side. And obviously, he brought Paul much joy. And Timothy was by his side, and he was the type of person that had a deep concern for other people. Now, a little bit of history about Timothy. He was actually raised by his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. So we find that in 2 Timothy 1:5, that they, those two women, passed their faith down to Timothy. So you can only imagine that a young man being raised by his mother and his grandmother was probably a little bit more sensitive and a little bit more caring than maybe someone who did not have that motherly and grandmotherly influence in their life. It's no secret that men and women are different, and I think you would all agree that sometimes women can be a little more concerned and a little more sensitive than men. Would you agree with that? You know, sometimes women can be a little more sensitive, a little more caring to the needs of the people around them. So Timothy, being raised by his mother and his grandmother, probably got a little bit more of that and saw that exemplified in his life. So whether that character trait can be attributed to his upbringing or just the pure work of the Holy Spirit in his life, we know that Paul is basically saying, this guy brought me a lot of joy. And one of the reasons why is he's the type of person that's generally concerned with the welfare of other people. And then Paul says, not like other people that are just concerned with their own interests, but he's concerned with the interests of Jesus Christ. And I know when I send him, he will have a concern for you. So how do we develop that kind of concern? Because we know this world is filled with people that are not concerned. Do you realize that? Sometimes you talk to somebody and it doesn't even seem like they're listening to you. Do you know anybody like that in your life? They just don't even seem to be engaged. They're not checked in. They're not listening. They're thinking about what they're going to say. They're thinking about their own life, and they're not thinking about what you're actually talking about. Maybe that person is you. Maybe you're just not concerned. Maybe you just kind of go through life and you're just like, whatever. Well, how do you become the type of person that has that deep concern? How do you become like Timothy? Because here's what the scriptures are telling us. When you do that, when you have that concern, you actually bring joy to other people. So I believe that there's two ways that you can become that type of person. The first is this, pray that God gives you the concern. Okay? Just pray, ask God, Lord, who should I be concerned about? And show them to me. How can I show this to them? Ask the Lord, Lord, how can I do this? Maybe there's somebody in your life that you know, like, this is a person I should be concerned about, but my heart's kind of hard. I just really, like if I'm honest with myself, I just don't really care that much. Well, here's what you have to do. You have to pray and say, Lord, you know what? Give me that concern. Give me your heart because I know that you're concerned about this person. The second one is this. Put yourself in the situations in which you're around the people that you need to be concerned about. I mean, it's no secret that, like, let's just say if you or I went to a developing country, if you've ever been to a developing country, you might have seen it on TV, right, the commercials, or when we do Compassion Sunday, you see that little video and you see people living, like, in areas that are just, like, run down, they barely have anything. You look at that and you say what? Oh, you know, that's a shame, right? You look at that and you're like, I have a concern, but then the video goes off and you're like, okay, regular life, okay? Now I'm back to normal, back to America, I'm back to my regular life. So sometimes it's hard to be concerned, but if you go to one of those places and you meet the people, see the people, work with the people, are around the people, and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, my heart really goes out to them. My heart really goes out to them. So I know that seems like unimaginable to even do something like that, but now let's bring it closer to home. Let's bring it closer to home. Are there people around here that you need to have a genuine concern for? And you don't because you're not around them that much. This really reminds me back to my days of youth ministry. And most of you know, I spent about 15 years working with teenagers. I really loved every minute of every year. I mean, that's something that I definitely felt that God had called me to do, especially for that time. But one of the interesting things that I've noticed about adults and the way that they interacted with teenagers was very different because, you know, most adults look at the next generation and a lot of times they have a hard time being concerned because they don't like a lot of the things that they do, they say, their culture. They don't really want to understand it. And even if they want to have a concern, they're scared of it, whatever it is. I still remember one day when this mom dropped off two junior hires. It was her son and her son's friend. She literally sped into the back of the church where the kids get dropped off. The kids jumped out of the car. She looked at me, no lie, and she said, better you than me. And she just left. I was like, okay. Those kids were pretty rough, I have to say. But here's the thing. A lot of times, people don't want to be around that next generation. But I'll tell you something about our church and about something that's been part of the mission of our church for a very, very long time. We put a ton of money, resources, and efforts into the next generation. Why? Because we're concerned about them. We're concerned about the next generation. We want this to continue on. But, you know, how do you get that concern? Is it just giving money to support the programs? Well, maybe for you, maybe it might be, hey, you know what? Hey, Pastor Steve, I want to help out with the youth ministry. I want to get involved. I want to find out who these people are that we're actually ministering to. I want to get myself involved. I can guarantee you, when you step into an environment where you're going to actually meet teenagers and know their names and talk with them, all of a sudden your heart changes. You start to have a concern because you're like, you know what? I'm starting to remember this now. I'm remembering what it's like. Even though their culture is different, teenagers are the same as they were when we were teenagers. So it helps you to understand and have that concern. And, you know, some of you might say this. Well, you know, if I was like 22 years old, then I would help with the youth group because that's what 22-year-olds do. Well, you know what? Recent finds say that teenagers will gravitate towards the oldest person that they sense cares about them. You get that? The old, because they're just like you and I. I want to be around people that have a concern, that care about who I am. Now, that's just one example. What God is pretty much asking us to do is, you know what? Find the group. Find the group of people that he wants you to be concerned for. Maybe it's the people at your office, and you go there and you work and you do your thing. But do you really deeply have a concern for those people and, you know, kind of what makes them tick and what's going on in their life? You can bring great joy to the workplace if you're the type of person that actually does care. You know, somebody's going through something, writing out a little card for them. Somebody's going through something, doing something nice for them. Those little random acts of showing concern actually go a real long way in the grand scheme of things, when you're talking to other people, when you're dealing with other people and their problems. So Timothy, he was that type of person. Like Paul said, like he is the one that has a genuine concern. If I send him, I know that he is going to care for your needs. But you know what? Our next point is found in verse 22, and it's this. It's people that bring joy are willing to serve. See, Timothy didn't only care, okay? He actually was willing to do something about it. Sometimes, again, we care, oh, that's terrible, but we don't step forward. We don't do anything about it. We just stay in the place that we're at. Well, let's look at verse 22. It says this, "But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel." See, Paul experienced a deep sense of joy because he had Timothy by his side, serving with him in the gospel. Now remember, Paul was in prison. And when you read through the book of Philippians in entirety, you kind of sense at some points there is a little distress, a little discouragement, because he was lonely. He was in this place that no one wants to be. But he had Timothy by his side, willing to serve and continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ alongside with him. He knew, okay, if I send Timothy, he's going to be helpful. He's going to be willing to serve. Paul, so much so, was hesitant to send him. It's kind of like one of those people in your life that you're like, I know they would be a great impact somewhere else, but I want to keep them for myself, okay? Paul, like you and I, at sometimes struggle with selfishness. I want to keep this person, so I'm hesitant to send him. But I know that he is going to be willing to serve in that area. Which really brings us to our next point, is it's that people that bring joy add value. Timothy was that person. He added value to whatever situation he was in. And verses 23 and 24 kind of help us to understand that a little better. He says, "I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord, and shortly I myself will come also." So Paul is saying, he was of great worth to me, and if I send him to you, it adds an extreme amount of value to what's going on there. Timothy is the type of guy that, you know what, he's going to serve, he's going to use his gifts for the kingdom, and he's going to have a genuine concern for other people. So the question that I think that we have to deal with, all of us have to deal with, is this. How do we add value? In any circumstance or situation or social group that we're in, especially the church, how do you and I add value? And I think the answer to that is simple. Like Timothy, be willing to serve the way that you're gifted to serve. Now, some of you might remember me talking about this because I've talked about this a few times. But in 1 Corinthians 12, it defines the church as the body of Christ. This is what I believe the scriptures teach us. When you become a Christian, you're part of the universal church. But God also rises up local churches in different areas, like our church. And in that local church, you have the local body of believers, which work together to accomplish the purpose of the church in the community. So what Paul does in 1 Corinthians 12 is he likens it to a body. The body has hands and feet and arms and legs and eyes and ears. They all have different things to do, but they're all part of the body. Christ is the head of the body. So here's what happens. God places you where he needs you. But many times we have gifts and talents and ability. We're a part of the body. And rather than using those gifts, talents, and abilities, we step back and we don't use them. So there's no value in what we're doing. We're just maybe just there. So here's the question I would like you to ask yourself. And now, by all means, I don't want anybody to feel guilted into using what God's blessed you with. That's not my goal here, okay? This is between you and the Lord, and I don't believe that guilt works anyway, so I wouldn't use that type of tactic, so to speak. But here's a question you need to ask yourself. Would the church be in worse shape if I was not here? Would the church be in worse shape if I was not here? Not in a sick, sinister, twisted way. They'll know when I'm gone. They'll pay. Not that, okay? That's weird. Here's what I want you to ask. Like, what would be different if I walked out these doors and never came back? What would be different? What would be different? Would anybody notice? Would anybody miss what I add to this fellowship? See, I'm not suggesting that if you do not serve at all, you're not valuable to God, because you are. Okay? God loves you. We love you. We're glad you're here. For some of you, just being here on a Sunday is the first step in your spiritual journey, and we're happy that you're here. Okay? You are valuable. There is no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in God's mind. But what the scriptures are actually trying to help us understand is a person like Timothy, Paul was like, I'm even hesitant to send him to you because he's so worth it to me. I love having him here. I don't want to see him go. So would the church be worse off if you walked out these doors and never came back? You know, in life, a lot of times we define ourselves by the successes we have, don't we? So Albert Einstein said this. He goes, try not to be a person of success. Try to be a person of value. Think about that for a second. Try not to be a person of success. And so much of this culture tells us, like, be successful, okay? Gain, 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 gain. What Einstein is saying is like, no, you know what? How important is that? And really think about that. How many funerals have you been to? How many eulogies have you heard? Is it about the success or it is about the value? I would suggest that it's about the value. It's about the value. So Timothy was so valuable that Paul was hesitant to let him go. But Timothy, thankfully for Paul, Timothy was not the only one that brought joy for him. He was one, but then there was another. His name was Epaphroditus. And in verses 25 through 30, we're going to find out how he did by three more kind of character traits that Epaphroditus encompasses. So this next is this. People that bring joy care about God's purposes. You know, some of you might be sitting there and thinking, like, it doesn't matter. If I walked out of the church, I don't care if anybody noticed. I don't care if the church is worse off because I don't really care about the purposes of God. Well, people that bring joy actually care what God cares about, his purposes. So in verse 25, it says this. He says, I've thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. So if you remember back, Epaphroditus was sent to Paul as their messenger and minister to his need. The church actually sent him and said, Paul needs you. Paul needs the encouragement. He sent them to Paul. He sent Epaphroditus to Paul. And now Paul is saying, I'm going to send him back. If you'll notice when we get to the next couple of verses, something happened to Epaphroditus. He was sick near to death. But what Paul does is he says, I'm going to send him back. And he gives him three titles. The first, and they kind of coincide with God's purposes. The first, he says, my brother. My brother. This is a title we give to our fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. We consider one another family when we trust in Christ. That means we're brothers and sisters, we're part of the same family, and God is the Father. So he says, you know what? Epaphroditus, he is that. He's a brother in Christ, and he cares for you as you are siblings. Now, I know many of you have family issues and different things that you deal with, but any of you that have siblings, regardless of what has happened in your life with your sibling, whether you're estranged from them or something is going on, you're in a fight with them or whatever it is, I know that if something was going on with your sibling, you'd probably rise up and say, it's my brother, it's my sister. I gotta do this. They're family. If I'm not gonna do it, who is? Well, imagine a group of people, a church full of people saying that. It's my brother and sister in Christ. God is our Father, and they're my brother and sister in Christ. And you know what? I care about them so much so that I'm going to do something. You know, there's nothing more joyful for me as a pastor to find out when someone is going through something and then the church leadership, anybody with an official title, goes to do something or does something for them and they say something like, oh, do you know what? So-and-so from the church came and said this or came and did this or gave me this card. And I'm like, man, that's the way the family should work. Like, we should not be the only ones, right? The official leadership of the church should not be the only ones doing the work because that kind of almost negates the need for an entire body. See, Epaphroditus, he was the type of person that was like, my brother, he's the guy. He's the one that's willing. So a question, do you care about your fellow Christians in the church? If your brothers and sisters are hurting, do you care? Will you step forward and do something about it? That's the question. Do you care about God's purpose? The second title he gives him is, he says, a fellow worker. Now, this is Paul. He's calling Epaphroditus his fellow worker. And the question I have for us is this: are you a fellow worker? And I truly believe this. I believe that in this world, there are givers and there's takers. Do you believe that? There's givers and there's takers. And I'm not necessarily saying givers of money as much as I'm saying just givers of who they are, their time and their resources. And there's people that are takers. There's people that are takers maybe because of the season in their life. They can't do anything else but take. And I'm not downing those people because sometimes people in life have to take. Sometimes you will be down and out and have to take. Maybe, just maybe, there's a time when you have to take and you don't want to. You don't want to ask. But it's almost like God saying, like, you know what? Put aside your pride and just allow someone to do something for you. Just, you can't handle it yourself. You need other people. I'm teaching you this right now. That's what God's saying. But there's other people that, you know, they're just takers, okay? They will just take, 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 and never give, give, give. Well, fellow workers err on the side of giving. They give their resources, their talents, their abilities. They say, you know what? I'm blessed, so I will bless. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to do more because of what God has done for me, because of what he's given me and blessed me. And I can guarantee you this, the most miserable people you will meet are the people that just hold on and never work, that just take and never give. So where are you on that? Are you a fellow worker? Because that's one of God's purposes, that we continue to work. And then finally, he says this now. He says, a fellow soldier. And some of us can't identify with that. Soldier, that sounds military. I'm not, I was never in the military. That's not me. But here's why he called Epaphroditus his fellow soldier. Because Epaphroditus was fighting the good fight. The good fight, defined by Paul, is really preaching the gospel. Getting the gospel message out to other people. The beautiful news that Jesus was willing to die for our sins. That Jesus rose again to prove that he was God. That Jesus said in his own words, all who believe will have eternal life. See, that's the good news that brought us salvation. But a fellow soldier brings that message to other people. Fights the good fight. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you fighting the good fight of the gospel? Do the people around you in your circle, in work, school, neighborhood, friendships, do they know that you trust in Jesus? Do they know that you have something that they might not have that would help them through their lives and eternity? Well, here's a way that you know if you're fighting the good fight, because I really believe the first step to fighting that fight is this. Start praying that the people around you get to know Jesus. Praying that God uses you to tell them about Jesus. Are you doing that? When you drive to work tomorrow, you're like, work. You know what I mean? You're going to work and you're like, the people there, like you have your opinions on the people that you like and the people that you don't like that much. Okay? There's people all around you and you're like, oh, do I have to see that person? Do I have to talk with that person? Try this. I dare you. I dare you to try this. Start praying for them. Lord, help me to talk to them about you. Help me to talk to them about your love. Help me to be a light to them. That is fighting the good fight, because I can tell you what, we're not fighting any battle if we just open up the doors of the church and say, hey, come to church. People don't want to go to church, okay? You know that. I know that. People just in the general community, how many people are in our community now? Like 30,000 people? How many people come to our church? Like a little over 300, okay? Where's the fight, okay? They're not like, whoa, we got to go to church, okay? We know, I mean, I remember before I became a Christian, I didn't want to go to church. The church was like one of the last places that I wanted to be. But then when God got a hold of me, I was like, oh, I want to be around my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to be here. This is edifying. This is helpful. This is for me. But the point is this, you're out in the community and you're the light. You're the one fighting that fight. And the church is here to assist you and inspire you and help you. And you know what? I can almost guarantee if you start praying for your friends and family members and people around that don't know Jesus, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get amazing opportunities to talk with them. I remember back again, my days in the youth ministry, we used to do this thing every single year. And I know Pastor Steve still does this. We used to put out these reach cards. I'd say, write down the names of three friends that you want to pray for and reach out to this year. Kids would be like, okay. I've had kids come up to me, literally open up their wallet and say, Pastor Mike, here's my reach card. See that kid over there? I was praying for him all year. And now he's coming out, or she's coming out to youth group. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. Surprise? No. Happy? Joy? Of course. Because here's the thing. We're out there as fellow soldiers. We're in this together, fighting the same fight. And some of us will fight very different ways. And when I say fight, it sounds so offensive. But it's not that as much as it's what are you doing in your circle to help other people understand about Jesus. Now, that brings us to our next point. The next point is found in verses 26 through 27, and it's this. People that bring joy do not want to burden others. Now, this is a very interesting point here, because in verse 26, it says this, about Epaphroditus. For he has been longing for all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Epaphroditus, close to death. God had mercy on him. And you catch what Paul says? And on me too, because I would have been really, really bummed out if Epaphroditus died. I would have been really upset. But do you know what upset Epaphroditus? Not that he was sick and almost died, but that the church in Philippi found out he was sick and were distressed about it. So he was like, I want to get to them. I want to show them, like, I'm healthy. I'm here. I'm good. He didn't want to burden them. You know, sometimes in life, we could be the type of people, or we're around the type of people that do want to burden, that do want to be a burden to other people. So here's a little test I want you to kind of think about. When you talk to others, do you always seem to end up talking about your problems and your issues? You get what I'm saying here? When you talk to others, does it always roundabout get to the place of your issues? No matter what the conversation is about, you finally land on what your issues are. Let me just tell you, if that's the case in most of your conversations, you might be a burden to other people. I am not saying do not share your burdens with other people. I'm not saying that at all. But there are certain people that kind of define themselves by always having an issue, always having a problem, and they always bring it up. You know, this past week, remember last week I said something about Christians not complaining? And I used the example of the weather, the 85-degree day. Well, I was tested this week, and I guess a lot of you were tested this week too, because we didn't see 85 this week, did we? We saw a lot of gray skies and a lot of rain. And you know what? Every time I looked out the window in the morning and saw another gray, rainy day, I was tempted to complain. But it was like God was like, Mike, practice what you preach. Last week, you told the people not to complain. So I'm thinking now that I'm a week out, I'm free, I'm absolved, right? Because I'm a sermon. No, I'm kidding. The point here is this. If I complained or you complained all week about the weather, did that help anybody? It burdened people. I can guarantee it. Because when I hear those complaints and you hear those complaints, it's just a burden. So what should we do with our burdens? Well, I have this crazy idea, okay, found in the scriptures. In Psalm 55:22, it says this, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. I'm not saying never share your burdens with other people. What I am saying is start with Jesus. So many times we have a burden, we have an issue, we have a struggle, we have a problem. First thing we do is go to the phone, go to the text, go to a person. I need to tell you about what I'm discouraged about. Well, guess what? Maybe you should tell Jesus, because I have a sneaky suspicion that he could actually do something about it. And everyone else will just be kind of deflated, and it won't bring them joy. Which really brings us to our last point, and that's this. People that bring joy are a blessing. Let's look at verses 28 through 30. It says, I am more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. So now what he's saying is, the bottom line is here is, Epaphroditus is a huge blessing. He is just the type of person that you need to be around. He is a huge blessing. You lack service, He filled in the gaps. I want to send him back to show you what being a blessing looks like. Now, the question for all of us is, are you a blessing? Only the people around you can really answer that, right? When they see you coming, are they like, here comes the blessing, or, I'm getting out of here, okay? I don't want to be around that person. But here's what I want to suggest to you, and what I really want to appeal. Why not be a blessing? Why not be a blessing? I can guarantee this. If you are a blessing to the people around you, it will bring them joy, and guess who else will experience joy? You will. You will. So imagine with me for a second, a church filled with people that desire to be a blessing to the people around them. Imagine that. A church filled, teeming with people that desire to be a blessing to the people around them. Well, I believe we can be that church. I really, truly believe we can be that church by having a genuine concern for other people, by being willing to serve and add value with our service, by caring about God's purposes and not being a burden to the people around us, but casting our burdens onto the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you that you've put us in a place where we are set up to bring joy to other people. Because of the work, the saving work you've done in our lives, you can have us be a blessing to the people around us. And I pray that we put these points into our lives, Lord. I pray that we follow after you because you are the God who loves us and served us and was a blessing to us and continues to be a blessing to us. So I'm just thankful again for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here. And I just pray that they would bring joy to the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.